Welcome back, Real Presence Live listeners. This is Melissa Scacio coming to you from the one and only St. James Coffee in Rochester, Minnesota. And we had a great first hour. Normally, Father Randall Kasel would be popping on, but he is actually on pilgrimage in Italy, so you're stuck with me for the next hour. Hopefully you don't mind. We have a great guest for this segment, the bishop of my diocese. He is my bishop. Bishop Robert Barron of the Diocese of Winona-Rochester is here with us this morning. Good morning, Your Excellency. Welcome to the show.
Melissa, good morning. I didn't realize you were broadcasting from St. James Coffee. That's great.
I know. That's why I was like, if you could have been here today, I literally could have given you your cappuccino.
No, very good. Well, I'll take a rain check on that.
Perfect, yes. Bishop was here the other night with like 50 seminarians after a Planned Parenthood prayer vigil, and they were eating pizza. It was just beautiful.
It was Friday during Lent, and so we had no pepperoni or sausage. It was like cheese.
Just cheese pizza. It was beautiful to have you guys here and to see all those seminarians. How heartwarming. Because I know that's one of your goals for the diocese is to increase the number of our seminarians.
Yeah, and we have a good number already, but I wanted to double that number because we need priests in a big way.
And good holy young men. These men, just like
They're
the power
guys.
In the room is beautiful.
I was with them last night, in fact. I went to the seminary for Mass and for dinner, and we're at capacity at IHM Seminary, so that's terrific.
Oh, that's so exciting. But this morning, we've been talking about film and Catholic movies, and I've been told, rumor has it, one of your favorite films is A Man for All Seasons, so why that film?
It is my favorite movie, period. I first saw it when I was a teenager. I probably was like 15 or 16. And, you know, it's the story of St. Thomas More and his battle with Henry VIII. And it's a story of a man coming to terms with his own conscience and realizing where he has to stand. And he tried everything he could. You know, it wasn't like Thomas More just ran to martyrdom. He really tried. He was a very canny figure. He was the Lord Chancellor of England. He was a lawyer, a statesman. And so he used all his ability to try to make his way. But then at the end, realized, okay, I can't be true to myself and to what God's calling me to be and support the king. And that brings him to his execution. But it's such a beautiful movie at so many levels, but it's about that central spiritual struggle we all have, which is to be faithful to the call that God's given us through conscience.
Oh, and that film, it ties in really well with what we're talking about this morning, which is the topic of religious freedom. And when we say, like, religious, there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. When people use the words, I don't think they know what they're actually saying. So could you define religious freedom for us?
Well, you know, John Paul II said it's the first of our rights and freedoms. So think of all the various rights that we have to life, liberty, and so on. But he said the very first one is religious liberty, because by that liberty, I determine who I am at the most basic level. What my supreme value is. I kind of set the tone for my whole life. So if I have a right to life, okay, but what's my life all about? If I've got a right to, you know, liberty, okay, but what's my freedom for? A right to pursue happiness. Well, what is my ultimate happiness, right? So underneath all those rights that we typically see, there's this fundamental right to determine one's life religiously. And it means, I think, freedom of worship, to be sure, so like with my fellow believers, but also means the right to exercise my religion publicly, out in the public square. So even the First Amendment speaks of, you know, the free exercise of religion. That's very important. Not just private worship, but the free exercise of religion in the public square. I think that's what religious liberty is about, and it's the first and most basic liberty. When it's denied, something of absolute importance is being denied. And that's why we keep fighting for it.
So what is it about the religious freedom that we hold dear, not just as Americans, but as Catholics as well? You were kind of alluding to it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, though, to emphasize. Yes, as an American, the 18th century, founders of our country, operating out of their own philosophical perspectives, and, you know, they weren't Catholics. They were operating out of a largely Protestant, to some degree deist perspective. Nevertheless, they intuited these great values. And they really are moral values. You know, that we have rights that are given to us not by the government. Jefferson understood that. They're given by the Creator. And these governments exist not to give us these rights, but to protect them, right? So that was an extremely important intuition they had as Americans. And then in the Bill of Rights, it becomes clear that religious liberty is very central to them. So as an American, I say this as a proud American, I'm for religious liberty. And then as a Catholic, yes, because I have to have this freedom to follow the call of the Lord. And when something gets in the way of that, whether it's a societal structure, it's a government, it's an oppressive system, well, that's gonna constrain my Catholicism. So both as an American and as a Catholic, I'm a advocate of religious liberty.
And it's just beautiful because like the truths are self-evident. And I think the meaning of that has been lost with a lot of people. Like, why is it self-evident?
Yeah, well, I think they were operating out of certain cultural assumptions that came ultimately from Christianity. Because you know what's interesting, Melissa, is that if you go to some ancient cultures, or even up to the totalitarianisms of the last century, it was not taken for granted that all people are equal, that all people have a right to, pursue their happiness. And no, I mean, human rights were denied. Certainly in the ancient world, certainly in the totalitarian systems. What's interesting to me is Jefferson's little word that kind of slips past us, that we are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And indeed, he says, all men are created equal. See, take creation out of it. How are we equal? We're not equal in intelligence, in beauty, and skill, and courage. How are we equal? Human beings are radically unequal, but we are all equally children of God. So that's why it's so important. It's not just like a little pious decoration. That's key to the whole idea that we're endowed by our Creator with these rights, that we're created equal. Take religion out of it, I think equality, freedom, rights disappear. And as I say, this is not just a little theory of mine. You can see it in Hitler, Stalin, Mao, and the great totalitarianisms of the last century. So that's why, this is a very important fight. This is a very important fight that we need to be involved in.
And, we tend to think about religious freedom as being, like, impacted by the courts and the government at the federal level. Like, that gets a lot of attention. But what about at the local level, like the state and then, like, the city?
Yeah. Well, in many ways, I think the impact is greater there because it's more direct. And as I think we'll talk about it a little bit later, but here in Minnesota, we're fighting some real battles from the local government that are putting real restrictions on our capacity to exercise our religion freely in this society. So I'm very concerned about that. It's not just at the high federal level, but at this local level, there are laws being considered that are really a threat to religious liberty.
Which is really kind of a scary thing because most people do not pay attention to what is happening in the government. They just trust them, which is a mistake to just trust that your elected officials will be doing what is right and the good things for people.
No, that's right. The culture is shifting. I think in the course of my lifetime, how much the culture has changed. There were things that were simply assumed across the culture, across religions and all that, about the nature of the human being, about the nature of human flourishing, about what was right and wrong. And that's been shifting so dramatically, especially the last, let's say, 15, 20 years. And I think you're right. Often people aren't even paying attention to these enormous shifts, which are now being reflected in the law. That's often how it goes. Like a shift will happen in the culture, and then it's embodied in the law. But, we got to be careful because certain people want to hijack this, and they want to put laws in place that really are dangerous to religious people.
And one of the things I like to say is where evil abounds, grace abounds all the more. And I think that's one of the reasons you were brought to Minnesota to be our bishop. We have some real powerhouses in the Catholic world right here in the state of Minnesota. And I think it's because legislatively, Minnesota is one of the most shockingly, I don't want to say tyrannical, but we have some of the most aggressive anti-life legislation.
And I'll tell you, I just came from California. I was an auxiliary bishop out in Los Angeles. And California is a little out there, too, in terms of their legislation. And, we were losing a lot of things. But I'll tell you one that we won. is they were moving toward attacking the sacrament of confession, because they wanted to make it a law that a priest would be obligated to reveal information about the sexual abuse of children if it came during confession. And we did rouse our Catholic people, and they flooded the Capitol with complaints, because we said, look, you're attacking a central sacrament of our faith. You know, of course the church wants to protect children, but you can't attack a central sacrament of our faith. And we beat them. The Catholic people did get roused enough to beat them. So it's possible. It's possible. We don't just have to roll over.
Well, that's like a heartwarming story to hear, because usually it's like, it's a loss, it's a loss, it's a loss. Maybe it's a small victory, but man, that one.
It was a big victory.
That and definitely gives
you
some hope.
If you look up, there are photos of these ballots, you know, that we had people sign, and we have like boxes and boxes piled up, and they were all sent to the state capitol. And it worked.
Oh, it's beautiful. There's real power in the Catholic. I mean, there are so many of us. Like, the sheer number and volume, if you could just get people going
we're
in the correct
giant,
direction.
We're a sleeping giant, though. We're a sleeping giant. You know, the giant is there, but it's asleep.
Oh, all right, well, thank you. I'm here today from St. James Coffee on Real Presence Live with Bishop Robert Barron of the Diocese of Monona, Rochester. We're going to head to a quick break, but stay tuned. We have plenty more after the break.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Daily Meditations of Pope Benedict XVI, presented by Leonardo DeFilippis of St. Luke Productions.
Faith as meeting. One has never achieved complete faith. Faith has to be lived again and again in life and in suffering, as well as in the great joys that God sends us. It is never something that I can put in my pocket like a coin. The essence of faith is that I do not meet with something that has been thought up, but that here something meets me that is greater than anything we can think of ourselves. The Christian faith brings us consolation that God is so great that he can become small, and that he is actually for me the unexpected and previously inconceivable greatness of God, that he is able to bow down so low. That he himself really enters into a man, no longer merely disguises himself in him so that he can later put him aside and put on another garment, but that he becomes this man. It is just in this that we actually see the truly infinite nature of God. For this is more powerful, more inconceivable than anything else, and at the same time more saving. This very God, who has the power to realize love in such a way that he himself is present in a man, that he is there and introduces himself to us, that he associates himself with us, is exactly what we need in order to escape from having to live to the end with fragments and half-truths.
This meditation is taken from Benedictus, published by Ignatius Press and Magnificat, and produced by St. Luke Productions. Learn more at stlukeproductions.com.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back, Real Presence listeners. This is Melissa Scascio coming to you live from St. James Coffee in Rochester, Minnesota. If you are just tuning in, we've had a great show so far. I am definitely not Father Randall Kazel. He is on pilgrimage in Italy. But even more exciting than Father Kazel is my guest that I had on the top of the hour, Bishop Robert Barron of the Diocese of Winona-Rochester, who is my bishop. I am very proud to say that. Yes, welcome. Yes, welcome, Bishop. If people didn't hear you, we were talking about religious freedom, and we kind of ended up talking about like what's actually going on in the state of Minnesota. So, what as Catholics living in Minnesota should we be the most concerned with that already is in place that we should maybe be fighting against or aware of?
Well, there are some things being proposed, you know, in the legislature, and they've been very aggressive because. there's now democratic control of all three branches of government, and so they're pushing a liberal agenda across the board. But things that concern us, this Minnesota Human Rights Act, which now includes gender identity as a protected category, and then no religious exemption seem to be permitted. Now, what that means is, in terms of our hiring and firing, in terms of people who teach within our institutions, the Catholic Church won't be able to make decisions freely according to our own understanding of the human person and human sexuality. We'd have to do so in accord with the state's understanding of those things. And that's a classic definition, I think, of the violation of religious liberty. What the government's done now over the years, very often, is they've passed something but then given a religious exemption. So let's say a doctor that doesn't want to be involved in abortion can say, oh, I'm exempted from that because of my conscience, concerns. What's happening now is things are being pushed through without religious exemption. And see, listen, what it comes down to, it's almost like a battle of religions, of ultimate understandings of the human person, of the human body, of sexuality, of the purpose of human life. And you've got a kind of secular ideology, right? And then you have our own Catholic faith, or broaden it out, or let's say a biblical perspective. And it's a battle of these two visions. What's happening is the other side is getting very aggressive and saying, no, our vision of the good life, our vision of what the human body is, human sexuality, human purpose, our vision has to hold sway. And you don't have a right to oppose us. And that's where we are balking. Now, some good news is there are a lot of different faith groups, not just Catholics, but a lot of different faith groups, Jewish, Muslim, Christian, that are opposing this and are speaking out in favor of their own, at the very least this, that they can exempt themselves from some of these state requirements so that we can practice our religion publicly, right? So not just, the state's not, at least not yet, interfering with our worship. But they are saying, well, no, as you come out in public and things like healthcare and schools, you have to abide by our secularist ideology. And the churches, you know, ecumenically are coming together to say, no, this is a very aggressive attack on religious liberty.
And nothing so unites like a common enemy, right?
Yeah, no, but, and that's okay. I think that's good that the, in a way, it's like the church is like a sleeping giant. You know, there's still a lot of people with a fundamentally religious take on things. And so we're a powerful force, but very often we're not aware, or we're not alert to what's going on, or we're not organized. And so I think that's the call of our time now, is for the religious, biblically minded people to get together and realize we are up against a pretty aggressive, secularizing ideology. And, you know, both as Americans and as people of faith, I think we have to fight it.
Oh, and we were talking a bit over the break about how I actually didn't even know that Minnesota is a sanctuary state.
I know.
And that is, like, to me, as a mother of three teenage daughters, and how easily teenagers can be swayed to think things because we are,
right,
our brains aren't developed, to think that,
right,
someone could, like, take my child to another state.
And that's
sadly, horrifying.
But that's basically true, that Minnesota is saying without parents' consent, even against their will, a child can get a sponsor who will bring him or her to Minnesota for this gender transition surgery. And yeah, I think it's a gross violation of parental authority. And it's the state acting as a great parent, that the state can now overrule a parent's decision. So, yes, I think it's outrageous. And we, Minnesota bishops, I think it was last year, we spoke to the governor, and we brought this to his attention as something that we find really horrendous. But, you know, that's where we are.
And another thing that concerns me, especially as a mother of teenage daughters, is my kids at 13, I can't really see their health care. I can't even really go in with them with appointments unless they say so. My children could get an abortion, and I would never know. But I would have to sign a waiver for them to get a COVID shot. And to me,
yes,
that seems so hypocritical. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
There's something, I mean, I've got some theories about this, but one of them is we've, in our culture, so internalized a sort of Freudianism that says, any sort of restriction to one's sexuality or expressing one's sexual feelings is bad. So nothing can stand in the way of my sexual freedom. And of course, the church, and for most of human history, culture has never agreed with that. We've seen sex as something beautiful and good, but it has to be, for that very reason, it has to be restricted and laws are set around it and it's directed in certain ways. But I think a Freudianism, a popular Freudianism, says, no, get rid of all the laws, get all the norms, and just let people express their sexuality any way they want. And the result, you're absolutely right, is this weird anomaly that you can't get a driver's license or a COVID test without your parents' involvement, but you can get an abortion, and you can have your gender changed. But see, it's all to do with this radical view of sexual freedom.
Oh, so I know, like, that sounds very disheartening, but what can we as everyday Catholics do in the fight to keep religious freedom? Yes, yeah, so like, what are, like, the...
Wake up. Wake up. So, I mentioned we're like a sleeping giant, that we don't realize the power that we have. And, write to your legislators, protest, organize something up at the state capitol, threaten your political representatives, like, hey, you don't get my vote if you're doing these things. And then I go back to something, Melissa, Cardinal George said a long time ago. He was sort of my mentor in Chicago. And people came to him and said, you bishops have to, be clearer in your teaching about all these matters. And Cardinal George said, look, I don't run the society. You run the society, meaning lay people. He said, stop electing these people. And you're the ones who run the society, so go do something about it. Change it. And that's Vatican II, that the laity have this great role to play in transforming society. Off you go. Do it.
So that's one of those beautiful things, yeah.
Wake up and fight, and don't just assume things will work out. This is, thank God, we're still a free country politically where we can express our political views and we can vote, and let's get organized.
I know, and some people, I know they feel a frustration that we don't really hear it from the pulpit very often, and I know when the elections come, that gets really dicey. So maybe could you just explain for some people, like, why the priest can't just tell you...
Yeah,
like who to vote for.
No, because that's too aggressive, and the church has always sort of held back from that, because that's a matter, again, of conscience. Once you've been informed, you've learned the great principles of Catholic social teaching, and again, it goes beyond just the issues we're talking about, the issues of marriage and sexuality and so on. It also includes, concern for immigrants, concern for the environment, there's a whole range of issues. So a Catholic is obliged to inform his or her conscience about these things, but then the church can't reach in and say, therefore, here's what you must do. Here's how you must decide. My point is, if you don't like the people who are supporting the things we're talking about, okay, vote against them, But the church should never dictate, well, here's the person that, you should vote for. It's a matter of conscience.
Oh. I know. Like, some people get... in La Crosse, we had a priest taken out because he was telling them, you can't vote for this person if you're Catholic. And, I think some people really want to just be told, because it's a lot of work to form your conscience. And
I know.
There's a lot of frustration that comes with that.
But Pope Francis said that quite well. The church doesn't, substitute for your conscience. It informs your conscience. So it doesn't dictate terms to you about, what choice to make, but it helps you to inform your conscience.
Well, we're coming to the end of the half hour. Thank you for being here, Bishop Barron. Do you have
that
any
was a
final
fast
thoughts?
Conversation.
Well, yeah, that was. I know we could probably talk for another hour.
My final thoughts is that we don't end on a a negative or discouraging note, but that Catholics should, rouse themselves to action, and that we have the truth on our side, and if we ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and we put ourselves in God's hands, we can accomplish great things, and that we shouldn't just roll over. But we should, fill with the Holy Spirit and with a joyful attitude, fight the good fight.
It's just like we just had someone talking about Mother Cabrini on earlier, and I can just, just someone who did what was asked of her and then did it well with her gifts and talents. And
That's right. All of us
have gifts and talents that God has given us, and to pursue those in a way where we're doing what God wants us to.
That's right.
all. Well, Bishop, would you be willing to give us a bless? I mean, I know, yeah, Bishop, blessings are powerful. Would you be willing to give myself and the listeners a blessing before you sign off today?
I would be very happy to. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon all of you and remain with you forever and ever.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much. We are so glad that you came to us. I think the last time I talked to you on air, you were in Santa Barbara in your apartment, and you were just about to move.
Is that right?
Yes, yeah, yes.
Very good.
Yeah, so
it's been almost 2 years.
Oh, my God. And those two years have gone by very fast. And
they have.
Yeah, and is there anything? We've got like 30 seconds left. Anything else you want to say to our listeners today?
Oh, just pray for me, please, in my work, and help me to shepherd this diocese well.
And actually, for your Word on Fire Ministries as well, I know we didn't mention that at all, but you do amazing work. Real Presence Live is on the live airwaves, and then you have a lot of podcasting and things that people can access. So
yeah.
we're doing the same work, reaching people in the same kind of way. And thank you for everything that you do for the online ministries and for us here in our diocese.
Well, God bless you, Melissa. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Bishop Barron.
Okay.
Wow, what an exciting interview. We will be back after the break on Real Presence Live with Amy Cummings to talk about the Steubenville conferences that will be happening this summer in our area. So please stay tuned after the break.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Did you know you can listen to Real Presence Live anytime on any podcast platform? Just search for Real Presence Radio on platforms such as Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and on the Real Presence Radio website. Then subscribe so you don't miss any future shows. If you like what you hear, give us a good rating so other people can find us as well. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In the Old Testament, Joshua confronts the Israelites as they prepare to leave their life in the desert to enter the Promised Land. He knows that the negative influences of Egypt and the surrounding Canaanite peoples are strong, and so he gives them a choice. Worship either the idols of the land or the one true God who delivered them from the land of Egypt. But why would the Israelites choose false idols over a God whose power they witnessed so clearly? Worshipping the God who performs so many clear signs seems like the obvious choice, right? But Joshua knew that the lures of the world had already blurred their vision. Sound familiar? We too are pressured to fit in for the sake of success in this world. Joshua did not waver. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Which God will you choose today, the gods of the land or the one true God?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Just as spring brings many benefits, such as longer days, warmer weather, and growing crops, your support to Real Presence Radio brings great benefits to our listeners. Because of your support, someone will understand more fully a piece of the gospel they heard today and may experience the love and joy of Jesus Christ for the very first time. This is Mike Kidrowski, Director of Advancement, extending a heartfelt thank you for your support to Real Presence Radio. God bless you and your loved ones.